No, no, I'm good. this morning I'm going to be talking about bearing each other's burdens, and next week I'm going to be talking about bearing with each other, so hopefully it's not going to be unbearable for you. I was thinking about that all this week. That's my main point for today. So we're talking about family ties, what it means to be a family, and as Mike was saying earlier, really, being a family, part of being a family, is bearing each other's burdens, bearing the weight in which many of us carry through life. So that can sometimes be sin, can be transgression, but sometimes it can just be unfortunate circumstances which happen to us. And it's, as a family, the family of God, to help and to be there for one another. And so that's what it means. But a question that I would ask before beginning is that when we think about the gospel and we think about the love that God shows to us, the love, the patience, the kindness, the compassion from God, do we show that to others? Do we show that same compassion, that same care to others? I'll tell you a story, see what you think about it. Somebody told me this story the other day. It was about a young adult, and they were serving in youth ministry. And what happened, this young adult was at work, and there was a work party, and his boss planned or paid for a prostitute for this young adult. He was a Christian. He was at this work party, and boss paid for a prostitute. This young adult got drunk at this work party, slept with this prostitute. The day after, felt terrible, real distraught. This young adult was serving in the youth ministry. And so the next day, he goes to the pastor, and he says to the pastor, he explains what happens, but he's truly repentant, truly remorseful, in tears about what he did. And so the pastor says to him, it's like, well, you know, you're repenting, you're remorseful, so go and serve. And on that night, he served in the youth ministry. I wonder, saying that story, explaining that story to you, what you feel, what you think, what do you feel? Do you think it was right? Do you think he should have been restored to serve in ministry? Or do you think he should have been given some time away? Should he have been forgiven? And how did the pastor restore in that? What did he do? And where was God's restoration in that? And the reason why I ask that question is because when we think about the love and the patience and the compassion that comes from God, do we show that same love, that same patience, that same compassion to others? I don't know what you would have done. I just give that question to you this morning. I'm not providing an answer, but was it right? Was that person restored by God? Did he bear the burdens of that person, of that young adult in that ministry? Should he have been allowed to serve? Should he have not? I'll leave you with that question, and let's go through. So Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 to 5. Caleb just read it. But if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each one will have to bear his own load. Let us just pray, and then we'll go into the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, we can gather here this morning. I pray that the words that I offer this morning to your people, I pray they'll be encouraging. I pray that your word will shape us and form us and help us to live out that compassion, the gospel, to live out the gospel, the love, the compassion, the care that you show to us. May we show it to others. In Jesus' name, amen. So Galatia, this church, is interesting. The Apostle Paul, so kind of to give a bit of context on what's going on, the Apostle Paul comes into Galatia and he's teaching the gospel. He's teaching that Christ crucified and resurrected, that it's by Christ alone, by faith alone, that we're saved, that it's not by works. He comes into Galatia and he's teaching this. So all these people understand it. They understand that it's by Christ, that it's by his blood, that their sins have been washed away. They know this. And then people start to come in. Certain Jewish believers who think that they need to keep the law come into Galatia and they start teaching. They start teaching the Gentile believers there that they must be circumcised, that they've got to get the chop in order to be saved. Got to get kind of, you know what I mean. And so it's like, so they come in and say, you've got to be circumcised if you want to be saved. They put a standard there for them. They say, you have to do this in order to be saved. And it causes a lot of confusion, a lot of disunity. And Paul's really surprised at this. Paul's kind of quite annoyed at the people who have come into Galatia and started to teach this. Right? So he kind of puts an anathema on them. But he also says to the Galatians, he says, you foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? Who's taught you these things? Well, you know, you came to Christ, you knew it was by faith alone in Christ alone, and now you think that you've got to be circumcised in order to be saved? And Paul's really surprised at this. And what happens in the church here of Galatia is that there starts to be disunity. Because as soon as there's a standard to be saved, to attain something, it causes disunity because it causes competition. It causes people to judge one another. And so Paul says this in chapter 5. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you are consumed by one another. Sounds like there are a bunch of dogs in the church biting and devouring one another. And then Paul says in chapter 5, verse 26, let us not become conceited. Don't think more highly of yourself. Don't provoke one another, envying one another. And you're like, wow, this is the church. This is the church. And you're like, sometimes I think not much has changed in the past 2,000 years, in one sense. So, and it happens though, doesn't it? This is church. This is community. This is life, right? This is the complexity of life. Of course we judge one another because we're sinful. Right? I don't know. I can only speak for myself. I don't know about you. So Paul comes in and he sees this disunity and his answer is the gospel. His answer is the gospel. And I dare say that even in this church, in any church, whenever we have disunity, it's probably because we've forgotten the gospel. When there's disunity, it's because our eyes have been taken from Jesus and taken onto something else. It's the gospel that Jesus was resurrected. It's the gospel that Jesus was crucified for our sins, that our robes have been made white in the blood of the Lamb. But disunity occurs, I think, when we forget the gospel. And what I mean by the gospel is like, I think anybody here could probably recite the gospel. Oh, what's the gospel? Oh, it's Jesus Christ crucified. It's Jesus Christ resurrected. It's one thing knowing it here, but there's another thing knowing it here. The person who I spoke about, the young adult who I spoke about at the beginning, the pastor knew the gospel. It was in his heart. He understood it, the forgiveness of the gospel. Do we know it here? I think sometimes there's people in the world. For us here, we have a multitude of Bibles. We can study the Bible all day long. There's people who study the Bible for 20 or 30 years and still only know the gospel here. And there can be somebody who comes to Christ in a faraway land who doesn't have the Bible, and they'll know the gospel here. They'll know what it means. They'll understand it, the grace, the compassion, the love of God, and how that can then be transcended to another. So Paul links this. He links the gospel, the understanding of the gospel, to this passage in chapter 6, I think, anyways. And he says, so this is what he says. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So Paul ties it in. I think what Paul's saying here is that when he's talking about bearing each other's burdens, he's talking about somebody who knows the gospel. Because he says the spiritual one. Who's the spiritual one? If you're spiritual, you can come alongside. He's not talking about some super spiritual Christian. But the verses that have just come before this are well known. People learn it when they're children. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control. That's the spiritual one. The one who walks in the Spirit, come alongside those who are going through difficult times and help restore them, be there for them, heal them. So this is what Paul's saying. But I love what Paul goes on to say as well. And I want to make the emphasis here that throughout this is really saturated in the gospel, in the compassion of God and how we live that out. So Paul says here, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one But then he goes on to say this. He says, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And you're like, what on earth does that mean? I think the NLT puts it quite well. We haven't got that there, sorry, I didn't give it to you. But the NLT says, considering yourself, so when you're with someone and someone's come into some fault, some transgression, it says, consider yourself unless you're tempted into the same sin. And I think, what? How does that make sense? How does that make sense? For instance, this person who slept with a prostitute, so I sit with them, why would I be tempted to then go sleep with a prostitute? If I'm with someone, a husband who might have cheated on their wife, or a wife who's cheated on their husband, why would I be tempted to then go and cheat on my wife because of that? But I think this is what Paul is saying, though. And I think the reason for it is because when we come to sit with someone who has a weight, if we think for a second, I would never do that. What's that saying? Oh, I could never cheat on my wife. Couldn't I? Sure I could. I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Of course I could. Of course I could. I could be a murderer. I could be an adulterer. Of course I could. Given the right situation, given the right context, given the right circumstances, I could be there. Given the moment of weakness, I could be there too. So when we come sit alongside someone who's grieving, who's made that fault, that could be me. That's the first thing to do when we sit with someone. Even if it's nothing to do with sin, even if it's just some calamity that's happened, that could be me. I can't sit there and say to this person, oh, that would never happen to me. Of course it could. Of course it could. And that's the gospel. Because the gospel grounds us. The gospel cuts us down. It puts us all on the same playing field. We're all level at the foot of the cross. We're all there. The gospel cuts us down, but then the gospel raises us up. Children of God. But able to minister to one another because we understand our hearts. We understand from where we've come from. And so Paul goes on. And he says in verse 3, he says this. He says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And so the first point that I want to make is how do we know? How do we know when ministering to someone that we actually lose sight of the gospel? And this is what Paul says. He says, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. So, and I think it's this. For me, I examine myself, I reflect on myself, and I see when I start to lose sight of the gospel. And so when I come alongside someone and I say, it's better, instead of caring, I come to fix that person. Or when I look at somebody else and say, I laugh at myself when I do it, and I see somebody going through a difficult circumstance, I see them going through this terrible dilemma, and I say, if only I could take control of your life. Oh, if only if I could take control, everything would be fixed. If I could just get your life in order right now. And what is that saying? My eyes have gone off the gospel. What is it saying? It's saying, you know what? I can fix you, and the way I'm going to fix you, I'm going to make you more like me. Right? It's like, it's terrible, really. But this is I do this, right? I think we all do it. Oh, I can fix you, make you more like me, because at the end of the day, I'm kind of like, I'm the epitome of spiritual health. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm healed. I'm good. I'm not broken. I'm not broken just as much as you. It's like, we're all broken. And so it's like saying, yes, you know, you can be mad. Let me fix you. Let me fix you. So that's how not to bear one another's burdens. It's trying to fix someone, trying to heal them. It's like this, you know, and it's subtle. I work in a hospital as well as being here as one of the pastors, and it's really subtle that we do this. When I'm working in a hospital, I'll sit with someone, and they're going through a really difficult time. So they've just gone through an operation, and the temptation is to sit with someone there and say to them, hey, you know, at least you're still alive, right? Or it's like somebody's house burns down in the hills. And it's terrible. These things happen. And it's to sit with that person and say, well, you know, thank God you've still got your family. And we mean well. It means well. Or, you know, like if somebody's kind of getting on in age and they're mature, like coming to the end of the life. Well, you know, you're going to be with Christ soon. It's all right. Right? And it's like, we mean well. We mean well when we say these things. But you know what we're doing? We're trying to fix. We sit there and we're very uncomfortable in the situation which we're in. And it says something more about us than it does the other person. Right? So we're sitting there and it's like, and so we've got to be aware of this. When bearing each other's burdens, think about it like this. Job, right? Job, all these calamities happen to him. And what do his friends do initially? Tear their clothes, ashes on the head. They sit with him for 7 days and 7 nights in the silence. In the silence. After that, they make a complete schmozzle of it. But before that, they do really, really well. But it's hard. It's hard to sit with someone in their grief. It's hard to sit. But this is what it means to bear somebody's burdens. Coming alongside someone, bearing each other's burdens. And then I think the other way, I will get to the kind of the positives in one sense, but another way that we kind of lose sight of the gospel is this. Paul says in verse 4, he says, let each one examine his own work, and then we'll have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each shall bear his own load. Each one should test their own work, test their motivations for what they're doing. So I think when we, like Galatia and what happens with the circumcision, they start to compare themselves, they start to compete. So when we often, this happens, when we take our eyes off of the gospel and we stop bearing each other's burdens, when we stop bearing someone's weight, we begin to separate ourselves and compare ourselves to others. We kind of see ourselves on a different level instead of at the foot of the cross. We start to judge one another. We pick each other apart. We make assumptions about each other. We have expectations on each other. And our opinions become the standard. Our opinions become the standard. It's like, you know, we look around church. Well, look at Robert. Look at what Rob's doing. Where is Rob? Yeah, look what Rob's doing. Look what Tim's doing. Look what Jane's doing. And we start to look at others and compare. Oh, look at them. Oh, they don't come to church as much as me. I come to church every Sunday. You don't. And what are we doing? We're setting this standard. It's not bearing each other's burdens, but we do this and we lose sight of the gospel. This is why I think in Galatia, this is what was happening. As soon as you introduce some standard, how can we bear each other's burdens? Because we start to think we're better than the other person and we really can't come to them on the level of where they are. So it's not just something that was happening in their day, but it happens in our day as well. So the question is then, how to bear the burdens of others? How to bear the burdens of others? And I think the gospel is central. It's the compassion, it's the patience, it's the love that God shows us that we then give to other people in turn. Knowing that we're all forgiven and then it's Jesus who's working through us. That we're all broken. We all come to this place on a Sunday morning. We've all got scars. We're all broken. We all bring our mess into it. This is community. This is what family's about. We bring our mess and we tolerate it and we love each other and we care for one another and we hold and we bear the weight of what each one carries because that's what families do. That's what families do. It's okay to bring the mess. It's okay to be broken. I love being vulnerable. I love being broken. It's fantastic because I rely on God. And I can rely on you as my family, hopefully, as long as we don't bite and devour each other. But I can rely on you to support me. And you can rely on me to support you as well, I hope. But what does it look like? We were hearing it just this morning from Mike. Bearing each other's burdens. You know, it can be as simple as just being there for someone. Sending a text message to someone. Calling them. Toddler jam, which goes on here. The stories which go on there. Mothers, fathers coming, having pain wait on them, and we minister to them. We care for them as the family of God. Journey groups and how we minister to one another. It's beautiful. It's all over the place here. We're doing it all the time. We're always bearing and carrying the weight of one another. It's fantastic. I remember, but I think one thing when we're bearing each other's burdens, and I think one thing that's really important to me, so I don't judge, again, is to look to the level of the cross. I was with a man the other day in hospital, and the nurses came to me, and they said, oh, would you be able to see this man? He's really aggressive. He's really angry. And what he was saying to the nurses, every time they would come in, he would just tell them kind of to F off, really, get out. really, really aggressive to them. Get away from me. And so when we're bearing each other's burdens, it'd be very easy for me to come in there. And I have assumptions. I'm coming in, I'm thinking, oh, this guy's probably just rotten. He's just a miserable guy. But I sit with him and I hear his story. And he tells me that when he was younger, his dad used to beat him. His mother departed when he was younger. He was the protector. He was the backbone, as he put it. He looked after his brother. He cared for he had to protect those around him. Now he's in hospital. He's got no one. And he has to rely on care for others. And he's angry. And he's in critical care. And he's got a daughter. And he can't see his daughter because he's there. She's not allowed in because he's sick and he's angry. You see, when we bear each other's burdens, there's a backstory there. There's a backstory for all of us. And it helps us to have empathy when coming alongside one another. So easy to judge, though. So easy just to come alongside. Oh, why are you acting like that? I don't act like that. Yeah, well, ask. Maybe there's a reason for it. Maybe there's a reason why this person's doing what they're doing. I love it, though. I love the way that we bear each other's burdens. Sammy, there you are. We were talking just now, and she said that the other day she went to a restaurant, and you saw somebody crying outside. And what she did, she just went over to this lady outside and just put a hand on her knee. And that was it. That was enough. That's all she had to do. It's beautiful. Loved it. It's all we have to do. It doesn't have to be complex. It's not some kind of great grand scheme. It's just being there for the other person. Sometimes as well, when we're bearing each other's burdens, sometimes we don't need to do anything. It's just praying. I remember when I first came to Christ, the person who brought me to Christ, he would have been praying for me. And I brought my baggage in. I used to drink an awful lot. I used to go to the bar, get drunk by myself. I remember going into that bar after coming to know Christ, and I sat there, had half a pint, walked out. I don't need this. Don't need it anymore. But that was Christ bearing my burden. Christ took that away from me. But people were praying for me. That's another way we can bear each other's burdens. I remember hearing a preacher as well over 10 years ago said the exact same thing. You know, sometimes we want to go in there and fix someone. We don't need to fix them. We just need to be there for them. This preacher was saying the exact same thing about someone who came to Christ. He really emphasized it in the sermon, really stuck in my mind. And what he was saying, this person had a drinking issue, never had to say anything to him. It was just God. It was the Holy Spirit that healed him, restored him, not him. It's God who fixes. It's God who restores. It's God who heals. And he does it in his time. This is important. He does it in his time and not our time. Not our time. We've got to be patient. We just walk with that person. It's like when people are going through difficult times, the way that I like to image it, is like we're going into the valley. We're going into the pit with the person and we're walking with them. We don't need to try and drag them out. Walk with them in the pit. Walk with them in the valley. They'll bring themselves out if we're with them. God will bring them out. God will restore them. God will heal them. That's the Holy Spirit's work. But we minister, we walk with them and care for them when they're going through the difficult times. So this person at the beginning, this young adult, slept with this prostitute. How would you restore? What would you do? How would you bear his burden? I think about Peter. And I think about Peter, who rejects Jesus Christ 3 times. What does Jesus say? You know, Jesus doesn't respond to us and says, oh man, I didn't see this one coming, you know? Oh, I went to the cross. If I knew you were going to do that, I wouldn't have gone to the cross, right? Jesus doesn't do that. We do that. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus restores, and Jesus restored Peter. And he restored him to a great ministry. Because he saw that God had... I think it's kind of like, did Jesus restore him at that time? Or did God already do the work in? And it worked, did God already do the work in him? Did the Spirit of God already do the work in him? And then Jesus just sent him on. So how to bear each other's burdens? I think the main thing, the principle of this, and this is what Paul says here, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. As I was thinking about this passage of Scripture, so many times what we do when we look at Scripture is that we say, we put ourselves in the place. We put ourselves, so when Paul is saying this, if any man is overtaken, any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. So automatically we put ourselves in the place of that person restoring. If we're going to ask ourselves, how do we bear one another's burdens? Why do we do this in Scripture? I do this all the time. I look at Scripture and I put myself in the superior position, if you like. Well, why not put myself in the other position? Why not put myself in the position as the one who needs to be restored? Because if I put myself in that position, because guaranteed we all sin, so there's always going to come a time where we need somebody to come alongside us and help us. Why not put myself in that position and say, if I was in that position, how would I like to be ministered to? And that answers the question as to how we minister to others. And this is exactly what Paul says, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, love your neighbor as yourself. We ask the question, how would we like to be treated? And then we know how to treat others. So we don't come alongside trying to fix, trying to just give so much advice, trying to heal someone, get your problem sorted. Would I like that? Would I want to be judged? Would I want to be condemned? Would I want to be flooded with advice? Or would I just want someone to come so I can cry on their shoulder, someone to be with me, someone to care for me, someone to listen and not cast judgment and not condemn, but just hear me? I think that's the important thing from this. Always reflect if you are in that particular place. So the same question. Do we show the love and compassion and care and kindness and grace that God shows us, do we show that to other people? Do we understand the gospel? Is it in our heart, not just our heads? Is it here? And do we live it out? Can we bear other people's burdens? Can we do as Christ did on the cross when he took our burdens, when he took our weight, when he took our sin upon himself? Can we do the same? Obviously, we're not atoning for people's sins, but can we do likewise like Christ did, but to one another, caring for one another, knowing the gospel in our hearts and practicing in it minute by minute? I pray that we can, and I think that we do. I think that we do. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your compassion, for your kindness, for your love. I think of your words, Lord Jesus, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love. We thank you that we can find rest for our souls in you. I pray, Lord, that as a family here, as the community of God, as the family of the community of God, that we can minister and care so deeply for one another, that the outside world sees it, that they see that there's something so magnificent here, so spectacular in the way that we care and love one another, that we're not there to bite and devour, we're not there to tear down, but we're there to pick one another up, to carry the weight.